Hi everyone, it's a while since I podcasted, and that is because I forgot my audio boom password. I'm a total genius. I have a database of passwords on my computer, which I tend to not record passwords in because that would just be too useful, right? So what I rely on instead is forgetting the password, but also which email I used to set up the account in the first place. And in addition to that, I have a tendency to set up a new Gmail account every time I set up a new blog, which is often. And that's because after a while they become overloaded with spam and I get tired of them. And really the whole thing is very, very confusing. So anyway, I'm back. I did, in the process of this, find a very old Audio Boom account as well, which has some of my early podcasting work in there. So I'm all over the place, aren't I, really? In a good way. Anyway, I have been trying to figure out how to record my walks lately because I kind of realise that I don't get around to writing them up very much. And that's because of time, but it's also because I'm working on a book writing them up. You'll be glad to know. Nobody's agreed to publish it yet, so don't get excited. And I am therefore kind of wary of creating text once that I then have to completely rewrite in a different way again in order to put it in the book so that I'm not replicating material. And anyway, so that's a long and rambling way of saying, I think I'm going to podcast my walks from now on. And sometimes I'll probably podcast them from the field. But other times I think I'd just rather podcast them afterwards because, I kind of walk to get rid of technology from my hand, you know, that kind of ever-present phone. And you'll be interested to hear that my last walk in Cornwall actually killed my iPhone, my lovely, lovely, much adored iPhone, which is the centre of my whole universe. It had a crack in the screen for a while, and during a particularly violent hailstorm, it just died and it's never come back again. And I'm too scared to send it off for repair because it's going to cost a fortune. And so here I am on my iPad instead. I am very teched up, but it means that I often don't have something in my pocket to talk about my walks. And actually, it's been quite nice not to be staring at a device all the time. I'm terrible for that. I really love a good look at a device in any given 3 seconds that I've got spare. And I guess I'm probably benefiting from not constantly staring at Twitter. But the rest of the world loses, right? Because you lose all my amazing, amazing witticisms, which I know you all love so very much. Anyway, I'm going to talk today about a walk that I did last week. And actually, I've been really thinking hard about my walks lately because the more I'm walking in Devon and Cornwall, the more I'm craving home. And I suppose I'm beginning to feel like I've made walking really, really difficult, and that actually it's the walking that's the thing and not the place. And perhaps also I have benefited from walking the North Downs Way and crossing Kent in a totally different form to the way I'm used to crossing it, and therefore seeing different parts of it and joining the dots between different places that I didn't understand. But I'm also beginning to get tired of following somebody else's route that they've laid down for me, and I kind of have got this craving for following new routes and finding my own routes and treading desire paths of where I want to look at and be and understand. And so last week I decided to take a walk that left from my home and that followed a series of paths I could see on an Ordnance Survey map that were places that I just didn't know that were in walking distance from my house. And so I set off from Whitstable. And for anyone that knows Whitstable, I followed the Crab and Winkle Way up to Tesco's, which I do very often. And normally at that point, I'm on my bike and I peel off and go through Clouswood to Canterbury to go to work. But this time I didn't. I turned off on a footpath towards Chesterfield, which is the town next door to Whitstable. And here I reached unknown territory, really. I crossed under the bridge that is the main road to the rest of the coast, and over a very dry, cracked field. And then found myself on Chestfield Golf Club, which made me feel immediately frightened, because I thought, am I trespassing? Is it okay? Am I going to get chased off by loads of angry golfers? But no, the golfers were like really friendly. They were like, hi. And I sort of said, hi, back very quietly, and climbed up a hill. And then in full view of all the aging male golfers, got elaborately lost and basically skirted the entire golf course, which is big. Golf courses are big places. I didn't really know that about golf. They're walking quite far. It's probably actually exercise. They're probably not lying about that. And found myself kind of wandering through some scrubland, first of all, at the top of a hill, which had a magnificent view of the sea, which I really didn't know was there. But then subsequently had to kind of reappear on the putting green, which I knew well enough not to walk over in my big kind of clumpy walking boots. So I kind of skirted around the edge of that and tried to follow a marked path with an actual signpost into some woodland. But it quickly became clear that that path was completely blocked. So I reappeared. And at that point, all the golfers started waving their arms at me and going, no, no, that way, that way. And I was so embarrassed because I just want to be on my own when I'm walking. I don't want to engage with other people. I might do the odd, you know, hello to a dog walker. I mean, it's really rude not to, but I really don't want to have a discussion. And then, of course, I just began to feel mansplained and patronised as well, because how dare they? I was following the map perfectly well, brackets, I wasn't really. But it wasn't my fault. But anyway, so I went down the path that they told me to go down and found that that was also overgrown and blocked. It was just covered in this kind of bush that had grown over the whole path. You could see where the path ought to be. It just wasn't available anymore. And then I thought about turning back and thought, I just can't now. They'll see me. They'll see me come out again. They've got no idea this path blocked. They think they've been helpful. And they just think I'm going to think I'm a moron if I come out again. So I ended up crawling underneath a bush. And I was glad I did, because I ended up in this amazing open space that is marked on the map as Crow Park, with a stream running through it, and loads of wildflowers. It was a proper meadow, and it was really lovely. And again, just somewhere I didn't know. And after I'd accidentally ended up ankle deep in the outskirts of that stream, which appeared to have burst its banks in ways I hadn't really fully understood, I then walked through into Thorndon Wood, and got a bit confused and did a bit of a loop, and kind of swung back round again through the wood and back onto South Street eventually through a different route. But the amazing thing about Thorndon Wood is that the water table just must be incredibly high at the moment, and loads of the ground of it was flooded. And it was creating these big black reflective lakes that reflected the ceiling of the woodland back down, which had this incredibly mythical, magical fairy tale feeling to it. And there's a beautiful picture on my Instagram feed, which is Instagram/Betty Herbert, of that reflection of all the trees and the sky reflected. And in the end, I did about 10 miles, I suppose, and got back home with properly tired legs, and really felt this intense pleasure at having walked a bit of my own territory that I didn't know, and at knowing another part of my own world, I suppose. And I don't think I'd be able to replicate that route, really. I don't think I'd be willing to crawl under the bush again, as much as anything. But it's made me think a bit, really, about where I'm walking and why I'm walking. And I think I'm going to be doing more walks like that soon.